Welcome to Reality Check, the podcast series from SearchUnifiedCommunications.com. This is Elaine Hom, Associate Editor. Every month, we meet with an expert to get a reality check on anything unified communications. This month, we're being joined by Tony Bradley, one of our UC experts and author of the upcoming Unified Communications for Dummies, to answer the question, IP-PBX, should you invest now, later, or not at all? Thanks for joining us, Tony.
Thank you for having me on.
Now, what kind of investment would an IP-PBX require? If a company can't afford that investment, what are some alternatives or ways to cut costs?
Well, the answer to the first part, it sort of helps answer the second part, because the answer to the first part is that anything from nothing to a whole bunch, depending on what you go with, because certainly there are, you know, PBXs out there and IP-PBXs available from, you know, Cisco's and Nortel's and Avaya's of the world. And depending on, you know, the number of end users that you're trying to support, you could spend a few thousand, you could spend 50,000, you could, so it could get expensive. And that all depends on, the size of the organization. The flip side to that being, there are freely available products such as the open source software Asterisk, which is an IP-PBX, so organizations could use that instead and, basically have, virtually no financial outlay, except that, as with anything open source, I mean, there's just the learning curve. When you pay Cisco or a Cisco vendor tens of thousands of dollars for a PBX, you're also buying some expertise. They're going to come out, they're going to install it, they're going to work with you. You have someone to call when something goes wrong. And, when you go the open source route, you sort of have to venture out into the forums and do your own research and due diligence and sort of, get past that learning curve on your own. But the reward might be worth it if in the end you end up with a free PBX.
Is an IP-PBX something that every business needs to have, or are there certain businesses that would benefit more from an IP-PBX and some businesses that wouldn't benefit at all?
I'm not sure I would say that there's businesses that wouldn't benefit at all. I mean, I guess it's sort of true. I mean, basically, as it stands right now, especially with, Microsoft Office Communications Server 2007 R2 that hit the streets in February, Microsoft has already made, sort of a transition to where you can do direct SIP trunking straight from, your voice over IP vendor into the OCS server without the need for a PBX. So it is possible to simply eliminate that piece now, depending on what your situation is. One minor downside to that is that Microsoft currently only has two voice over IP vendors that they're working with, and that kind of limits it. Moving forward, I actually just blogged about this the other day that it's already been sort of known that Microsoft's strategy is to eliminate the PBX when the next big release comes out, which has been codenamed Wave 14, set for release sometime next year. Now there's been actual documentation from Microsoft found that actually states that in the documentation. It basically just says, once you've implemented this, you will not need the PBX. So moving forward, the PBX is going to be a lot less relevant, and the IP-PBX. That said, there are still certain things that some organizations might need that don't exist currently in Microsoft OCS or competing products. So things like, the ability to use dial codes to, track phone calls with certain customers, or even just the, some of the E911 capabilities that haven't been there with OCS. So depending on the needs of the organization, there are still going to be some entities that need the PBX. And, with OCS 2007 itself, there was maybe more of a need depending on who your provider was and who your hardware is. But again, with OCS 2007 R2, if you're moving, migrating to that, and the ability to do the direct SIP trunking really kind of changes the game some. The Microsofts and the IBMs of the world are approaching unified communications from a software perspective. That's their base. That's what they do. And so they're coming from that side. And, and Microsoft with their, VoIP as you are campaign has marketed from the beginning, hey, if you use Microsoft's unified communications, we're going to let you leverage what you've already got. You know, we're not going to ask you to replace everything. You know, you can keep your analog lines, you can keep your VoIP, you can keep whatever you've got, and you know, and we'll just tie it in. You know, and then when you're talking about, you know, Cisco, Nortel, Avaya, they're coming at it more from the hardware side, that's part of their core business, or the networking side, which is part of their core business, and their solutions, I think, are much more reliant on, or they're really kind of counting on you wanting to have this IP PBX as a part of the package. But, you know, I think that really what the future is going to be the software-powered voice, and it opens up a whole new era, really, in what you can do. I guess, basically, traditionally, you know, you had your phone, and the phone can only do so much, and so you have to develop business processes that work around what's possible with communications. And the direction that we're going, the software-powered voice, kind of flips that around to where I can develop custom applications that make the voice do what I need it to do. So now I can make my business process first and then customize my voice communications to work with that.
What are some best practices when it comes to deploying IP PBXs?
One of the things that companies need to be aware of when they're doing these things, first of all, is that, you know, when you're doing an IP PBX and you're kind of taking it from, you know, what has been traditionally a separate entity, a separate network. I mean, oftentimes you've got your network and your IT guys on one side, and you've got your voice, you know, PBX guys on the other side, and they don't really necessarily work together. If you're making a move either, you know, directly to VoIP or, you know, in any way sort of converging those two groups have to communicate, and they have to work together, because, you know, the voice guys really understand call routing and the dialing rules and all the various things they've had in place all these years on the voice side. And the network guys understand TCP/IP and how IP traffic is routed and the, you know, data security issues on that side. And so they really need to cooperate. So I think, you know, the best practice there is to make sure that they work together so that the call routing and the dialing rules part of the voice gets properly implemented on the data side, and so that the, you know, network and data security measures are implemented properly on the voice side, and basically that it ends up working smoothly.
Well, that's about all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us, Tony.
Thank you very much.
Be sure to check out some of Tony's Ask the Expert questions and answers on our site. For more information on Unified Communications, check out searchunifiedcommunications.com. This has been Elaine Hom, and thanks for tuning in.